have joined you just for a little bit this morning before I head back around the corner to Bible Union Fellowship Church. Just enjoyed the fellowship this morning and greeting each and every one of you, my sisters and brothers in Christ. And for me, when the request was made, "Great is thy faithfulness," that song is my life song. It's already my favorite hymn. So it was not a problem. And just as I'm coming upon my birthday week, I always think about how faithful God has been. And even as I'm thinking about things that I'm dealing with and going through, I know I can depend on the faithfulness of God. So great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thine compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter end, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in thy courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love, and pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and Christ's hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. For great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed, thine hand hath provided. For great is thy faithfulness, dear Lord, unto me. For great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, and morning by morning new mercies I see, and all I have needed, all thine hand hath provided. For great Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Dear Lord, unto me.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, bless God. Bless God. Come on, John, let's grab that stuff out because we're going to lose her in a moment. But thank Sister Deloge for coming. I had to pull a lot of strings. So the flowers are for her. This card is for her. I'm going to ask you to take that back to her, John. I want to bless her with those. And so you're asking why the three, so let me explain. So one set is for you, whichever one you choose. Now, I picked the roses for you, but if you don't want the roses, you got all three are in your hand, so you take what you want. The second set is for Sister Lewis, because I kind of twisted her arm a little bit. I'm sure she twisted yours a little bit. So send that to her. That's for Sister Lewis. And then the third set is for your mom. And that's because I just always love your mom. So take that. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming. I really, really appreciate it. Come on, let's love her as she leaves. She didn't have to do it. She didn't have to do it, but she did. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Lamentations, the third chapter. It's not that God is faithful, but the prophet declared, the psalmist declared, that great is his faithfulness. Not just that he is faithful, but great is the faithfulness of God. If you have that, the third book of Lamentations, I'm going to remain seated. I'm just going to pray and then turn our attention to the Word of God. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the greatness of your faithfulness. Not only to your creation, but also to your creature. We thank you that you have brought us and have kept us and have promised to sustain us through the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. We thank you for your faithfulness not only to us in this life. We thank you for your faithfulness to us in the life yet to come. Our hope is not in ourselves or in our strength, but today our hope is in Christ Jesus. And all that you have promised by and through the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with surety, confidence, boldness, we lay our hands on the promises of God. So go with us, stand by us, and fight for us, so that we might forever know the faithfulness of God. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The third chapter, if you're there, verse 1 begins by saying, I am the man who has seen affliction, and by the rod of his wrath. And by his wrath, he's referring to the wrath of God. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and also my skin and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with the bitterness and woe, and he has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out, and he has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewstone, and he has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow, and he has set up as a target, and he has set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins, and I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace, and I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. And this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him and to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. May the Lord bless and consecrate his word to our heart. Great is thy faithfulness. In summary, what you hold in your hand here in the book of Lamentations, and often overlooked book of the Old Testament, the book of Lamentation has as its chief focus God's judgment in response to Judah's sin. This theme can be traced throughout the book, and a second theme which emerges as the reader reads is the hope found in God's compassion. Though the book deals with disgrace, it turns to God's faithfulness and closes with grace as Jeremiah moves from lamentation to consolation. The third chapter, as we started out, I wanted you to know who that he was, and that he is in fact God. God has now turned his wrath on to Israel because of Israel's perpetual sin and their refusal to repent and get right with God. As we discussed on last Sunday, the fire of God, representing the holiness of God, requires all that come before him to be righteous as he is. That's what his holiness requires. And so he gives us his word, he gives us his spirit, all to accomplish the task of making us holy so that we can come before him. And in so doing, that we might have fellowship one-on-one with God. And as long as sin is identified and perpetuates in us, God, because of his holiness, is required to judge us. There is always a penalty and a payment for sin. Even though God does forgive sin, there is still a consequence of that sin, even though it's forgiven. And here Israel, who the Old Testament goes at great lengths to record, is uniquely chosen, loved, and cherished above all nation, yet God judges her. Do you follow what I'm saying? And even so as it is with Israel, so it is with us. And though God has chosen us and not us choosing him, but God has chosen us, and yes, we are his workmanship, but to the extent sin continues in our lives, God must judge it for his own righteousness' sake. Do you follow what I'm saying? But yet, or in spite of his judgment on us for our sins, what the prophet does for us in lifting up here in the middle of the third chapter is that he reminds us and God that your mercies endure forever. It's funny, in reading this in context, I can't help but think about David and the sin in his life and the judgment that he brought upon himself by God. And David, realizing his shortcoming and his offense of God, and realizing that he must be punished for what he's done, for his disobedience, David throws himself at the mercy of God. Amen. Don't let my enemies judge me. If you understand Israel's history, God chose the Babylonians to be his arm of judgment against them. David said, don't let my enemies judge me. Don't let my family judge. He said, Lord, you alone, you judge me. You penalize me. And what David was hoping or banking on was that in spite of God's judgment, there was still God's mercy and compassion. That at some point God, even though justified, would relent in his wrath and judgment. Not because of how great David was or how beloved David was, but because of how loving God is. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the writer lifts up and says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. It's not what have we done or what have we not done. Our creation is in sin before God. Our very existence as carnal, fallen human flesh is an offense to God. And I often wonder, why, if we have fallen into sin and such disrepair before God, why does he not simply destroy us and make a new kind of being? He can. It's not with outside of his power, realm, or authority. He can. But the weeping prophet reminds us that the potter does not discard the clay. Though he could have, get new clay, get fresh clay, better clay, and therefore sculpt a better end product. But no, the prophet says what? That the potter takes the what? The same clay. Reshapes, remolds, refashion the same clay into the vessel he desires. And if you're here with me this Sunday, you can't help but to see that that clay represents you and I. He could exchange us for better clay, but he takes the same clay, reshapes, remolds, refashions us to become what he has desired for us from the very beginning. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. And because his compassions fail not. His compassion, his love for us, his love for Israel, his love for the church fails not. Even though we fail, even though we fall short, even though we present failure after failure, the compassions of God fail not. That means everything to us as believers. Because we can always count on the unfailing love of God. Are you with me? The real benefit is not only that they fail not, but they are new every morning. We are unable to wear out the mercy of God. Sometimes I just tell my kids, it's better now at this point for you to go somewhere. Why? Because I am at the end of what I can take. And if you are pushed, or if I am pushed any further, this is not going to end well for any of us. But when it comes to our Heavenly Father, I'm finished here. If you help me, I'll get out of it. He says his mercies are everlasting. His compassions, they fail not, and they are new every morning. Regardless how far I have pushed God or tempted God, or wearied God in the preceding days, weeks, months, and years of my prior life, every morning there's new mercy. A fresh batch of God's compassion mingled and mixed with his mercy and love for me, such that I can never wear out, worry, withdraw from the unfailing love of God. Every morning, new mercies. Every morning, new compassions. And as a result, the only conclusion that the prophet can make is that great is your faithfulness. The prophet said, I've looked at the record. Not only is Israel wrong, but I, as your man and mouthpiece, I too have failed. But in spite of your judgment on me, required by your holiness and your righteousness against not me, but the sin I have committed, yet I am not consumed. Yet I am not destroyed. Even though I am cast down, yet I utterly will not fall. Why? Because great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. In spite of what I should have done, in spite of what I could have done, I have fallen short of the glory of God, but yet great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto to me. And so that's why I make my way out to the Lord's house, just to tell him, thank you for your great faithfulness. Thank you for your unfailing compassion. Thank you for your everlasting mercy. Thank you for the newness every morning that I experience. Great is your That's why I lift my hands. That's why I clap my hands. And that's why I give the Lord glory. Because even though I should be consumed, and even though I should be destroyed, hallelujah, Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. An evidence, a sign, a witness that the great faithfulness of God is still our portion. The fear of God. You got to have it. The fire of God, it's got to burn in you. The faithfulness of God. You know what's different about the faithfulness of God in comparison to the other two? The first two, we got to have it. You got to have the fear of God. You got to have the fire of God. But when it comes to the faithfulness of God, God said, I don't put any requirements on you. God said, I'm going to carry that one myself. And when we see Christ stretched out on the cross, that's a sign of God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. Though we could have been consumed, although we should have been destroyed, although he could have exchanged us for new and better clay, the potter took the same old clay, reshaped, remold, refashioned us as a sign to us of what the prophet tells us. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. What a privilege we have to enjoy the faithfulness of God. I'm going to close by saying this. Compare the faithfulness of God to the unfaithfulness of every person you've ever known. I don't think there is anyone we could name or list who at some point in our lives has been unfaithful to us. family, friends, co-workers, companions, at some point, they were unfaithful to us. But of our God, the prophet says, great is your faithfulness. And every morning, we start all over again with the faithfulness of God. You have the word of God, saints. The Lord bless you. And